Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Gaming Ride Home podcast for Tuesday, May 19th. I am Kyle Hilliard. Here's a whole bunch of video game stuff that happened recently. Resident Evil Code Veronica may be getting remade after Resident Evil 4. If that's even being remade, that this is all rumor. Assassin's Creed Valhalla may be just as big as Odyssey, or maybe even longer, despite previous reports. Sony is releasing a Last of Us Part 2 PlayStation 4 Pro console, and Mafia 2 Definitive Edition is out today. Resident Evil Code Veronica may be getting remade after all, according to rumor. When rumors about Resident Evil 4 being potentially remade started showing up online, a pair of debates popped up beside it. The first was, does Resident Evil 4 really need to be remade? And the second was, what about Resident Evil Code Veronica? Shouldn't that be remade after 3? I'm actually streaming the game right now on my Twitch channel, the original Resident Evil Code Veronica, and one of the main reasons I decided to play it was because I had never played it, and I always wanted to, and I didn't think it was going to be remade anytime soon. I figured now was as good a time as any. According to a new rumor from Joe Pring and the site WeGotThisCovered.com, it looks like Code Veronica may be on track to be remade after all. Pring writes, Capcom is in fact planning to give Code Veronica its own well-deserved makeover, though there's one rather substantial caveat worth noting. Assuming everything goes according to plan, and that's a big if considering the current climate, Capcom is believed to be targeting a 2021 launch window for Resident Evil 8. Fans have already been waiting 3 years for a continuation of the core narrative following 2017's seventh installment, so it makes sense that the developers' priorities lie here. The new and improved Resident Evil 4, on the other hand, is believed to be arriving roughly 12 months later, accounting for 2022. That being the case, then, a remake of Resident Evil Code Veronica most certainly won't be arriving anytime soon, with 2023 being the absolute earliest for when fans can expect to see it. And that is, again, from Joe Pring on WeGotThisCovered.com. To chat about this rumor a little more and discuss its potential veracity, I called up Resident Evil expert Alex Aniel, who goes by @CVXFreak on Twitter, which stands for Code Veronica X Freak, to talk about it. Hey, Alex, thanks for joining Gaming Ride Home. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, of course. So I consider you a Resident Evil expert, and there was a rumor going around recently. I mean, I've talked about on the show the Resident Evil 4 remake rumors and all that kind of stuff, but now a new one has popped up for a remake of Resident Evil Code Veronica. And I just wanted to get your perspective on it. Do you think it's likely? Have you heard anything about that? Your ear is closer to the Resident Evil ground than mine is.
Yeah, I actually haven't heard much about anything like that. This rumor would be the first time I've seen anything about a Code Veronica remake that's not pure speculation, I guess. We've seen plenty of rumors about Resident Evil 4 at this point, and there were plenty about 3 as well before it was released. I mean, I can't say either way, but it would be nice, I think, to have a Code Veronica remake for sure. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, that entry in particular is special for you, right?
For me, because it's the first one I played. And I think for a lot of Sega fans as well, there's a lot of significance in the game for them because that was originally a Dreamcast exclusive. But yeah, I think it would be great. And if this Resident Evil 4 rumor does pan out, it would be pretty unfortunate if they skipped Code Veronica, because I think the game, as good as I think it is, could definitely benefit from a similar fresh coat of paint that they've given to 2 and 3.
Yeah, this is really coincidental, but I'm actually playing it for the first time right now. I'm streaming it. I've just started playing as Chris, just to give you an idea of where I am in the game. But
great.
To me, this feels more like a mainline entry in Resident Evil than proper 3 does. Like, I feel like there's more story happening in this game than there is in 3, which is it's so strange to me.
Right. I mean, it's, for one, it's a much longer game. There are more characters in Code Veronica that, you know, show up in other Resident Evil games than in 3. Most of the cast of 3 were all one-off characters that haven't appeared in other games, and the original intention for 3 was to be a spin-off. They just added the 3 at the last minute for marketing purposes, pretty much. So, yeah, it Code Veronica was definitely supposed to be the next big Resident Evil game after RE2 came out. They even had the same story writer, so there's a lot of continuity there. But yeah, if they skip Code Veronica, you know, I think for a lot of people who are on this new remake timeline, you know, there's going to be something missing by the time they get to Resident Evil 5, right? So hopefully they get around to it sometime. And I think there are a lot of great reasons why a remake of Code Veronica would be something that's worth doing, if not now, in the next few years. And I think the biggest reason is Resident Evil 3 was quite action-oriented, more so than Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 7. And if Resident Evil 4 does end up getting remade, that's going to be another action-oriented Resident Evil game for sure. So I think if they want to re-explore that horror focus that they did so well with Resident Evil 2, I think, especially if Resident Evil 8, the other heavily rumored game, ends up being a first-person title, I think Code Veronica is the perfect backdrop where you can revisit a third person over the shoulder horror oriented Resident Evil title with multiple scenarios and a more significant storyline. So I would be very disappointed if they never got around to it.
Alex is based in Japan and is currently working on a book about the history of the Resident Evil series called An Itchy, Tasty History of Resident Evil that is due to publish sometime next year. There is a link in the show notes where you can learn all about it, as well as some links to excerpts from the book that have been featured on Polygon.com. I have also included our full chat at the end of today's episode if you want to hear more from Alex and I discussing the Resident Evil series, and also, you know, if you're wondering why the episode is so long today. A fan translation of an Assassin's Creed Valhalla interview points to the game being potentially larger than Assassin's Creed Odyssey. There has been some confusion related to Assassin's Creed Valhalla since its reveal regarding its size. Assassin's Creed Origins and Odyssey are both huge games. Arguably to a fault, they're intimidating. But shortly after Valhalla was revealed, Ubisoft Middle East head of communications, Malik Tafaha, tweeted something in Arabic that translated roughly to, "It won't be the longest or biggest game in the series," which I was actually happy to hear, but it sounds like that might be inaccurate. In a recent interview with French YouTube channel Julien Chitza, Assassin's Creed Valhalla's Julien Laferriere said, and this is another rough translation that was done by fans, "I would actually say, in terms of range, it is probably a bit larger than Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I do not have the exact figures at this stage, but we have not only created the whole country, which is in this case England, but also a good part of Norway too. There are other secret worlds, which I cannot speak about today, which contributed to the size of the game. It's not a small game. It is a game which is clearly ambitious, which will offer many, many hours of gameplay for the players." So based on that interview, it sounds like Valhalla may be bigger than Odyssey, or if nothing else, certainly comparable. PushSquare.com's Stephen Tailby reached out to Ubisoft to ask for clarification and received the following statement. "Odyssey has fantastic momentum. Our aim with Valhalla is to build on that by creating a more approachable story while adding more depth and new features and activities to the open world that we believe will keep players engaged for a long time." Which doesn't really answer the question, but confirms a suspicion I had that even if Valhalla is technically smaller than Odyssey, it's still going to be a massive game. I personally would have been okay with a smaller, shorter game. I really liked what I played of Odyssey, but did hit a point pretty early on where I was just like, what am I doing here? I've played like 7 hours and have barely scratched the surface. Am I ready to commit here? And it turned out I wasn't, and I never got around to finishing it. Hopefully Valhalla will grab me, and I will see it to the end.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Sony unveils a subtle The Last of Us Part 2 Special Edition PlayStation 4 Pro. Perhaps this was inevitable, but Sony revealed today a special edition PlayStation 4 Pro model for The Last of Us Part 2. It's not garish or too overt, which these things sometimes have a tendency to be, and thankfully does not focus on the clickers in terms of its art, and instead uses Ellie's tattoo and actually engraves the design into the side of the console, which is apparently a first, according to Naughty Dog art director John Sweeney. The controller also has the tattoo design on the right handle, and in another subtle touch, the face buttons are simply white and not colored, which is cool. The controller will apparently be available separately too. One weird thing, there is a short video for the console, and in the video it shows the system and controller side by side, and the Last of Us Part 2 logo appears on the controller's touchpad. But then the logo does not appear in other shots of the controller. I don't think the logo is on the touchpad, but it's weird that there is a moment where it looks like it is. The system will be $400, comes with a 2 TB hard drive, will include a physical copy of The Last of Us Part 2, and codes for things like a Last of Us dynamic theme and some avatar pictures. It will be available the same day as the game, which will be June 19th, exactly 1 month from today. Here's what released today, as well as some things to keep an eye out for in the future. Mafia 2 Definitive Edition is out today, which is the previously teased remaster of Mafia 2 for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. You can also buy it as part of the Mafia trilogy for $60, which includes It, Mafia 3, and Mafia Definitive Edition, the latter of which won't be available until August 28th. On the trilogy's website, it says that Mafia Definitive Edition is, quote, a total remake of the beloved classic, which has been, quote, expanded with new content and stellar presentation. There is a brief 22-second teaser trailer for it online, and it looks very sharp. Better than Mafia 2, actually, which is kind of funny. In the trilogy, it is definitely the one I am most interested in seeing and potentially playing, since I totally missed it when it first came out. The Wonderful 101 Remastered is out today on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. The game, originally released back in 2013 as a Wii U exclusive, and through the Wii U's life, it stood as one of its more notable third-party exclusives. The game was directed by Hideki Kamiya, who has an impressive history having worked on games like Resident Evil, Devil May Cry, Beautiful Joe, and Okami. In the game, you actually control a big group of superheroes. It doesn't really play like it, but it kind of looks like Pikmin while you're playing. I'm excited to see it find a new audience after it kind of languished on the Wii U for so many years. Golf with Your Friends is out today on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. It's not one I was really familiar with until today, but it's a multiplayer mini golf game with what appears to be crazy over-the-top courses. A Fold Apart, a puzzle game about long-distance relationships, is out today on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One after having previously released on PC and Switch. Gorn is out today on PlayStation VR, and even if you're not familiar with that name, there is a good chance you have seen short videos or animated GIFs of Gorn. It's a violent, cartoonish gladiator arena game where you can do stuff like rip the arms off your opponents and use them as melee weapons. It's a weird one. Hidden Folks is getting some new content on June 4th. Hidden Folks is a charming game built with black and white line drawings where you have to explore images to find hidden objects. Its sound design is all vocalized by human voices. Music, sound effects, all that stuff is made by people making noises with their mouths. It's been out for a few years, but this is its biggest content update. It will add 6 new music-themed areas, more than 70 new objects to find, and a bunch of other little additions. The game is currently on mobile devices. I played it on iOS. It's also on PC and Switch. The price of the game is going up a little, but if you already own it, you will get the update for free. The Switch version will take a little longer to get the update. The game's creator, Adrian DeJong, said on Twitter, "Unfortunately, the Nintendo Switch patch for Hidden Folks will have to wait a bit longer as Nintendo is swamped. It's a cool game, and I am happy to hear it is getting more content. It's not a video game, but the first episode of Reggie Fils-Aimé's podcast, Talking Games with Reggie and Harold, is out today. I haven't listened yet, but I am looking forward to it. It's on SoundCloud at the time of this writing, but Harold Goldberg, the Harold in the podcast's title, says it will be on other platforms like Apple Podcasts later today. Hopefully it has released wide by the time you're listening to this. That's it for gaming news today. If you have corrections or just feedback in general, feel free to send me tweets or DMs to either at Kyle M. Hilliard or at Gaming Ride Home, or you can send an email to kyle@ridehome.info, and please consider leaving a review for the podcast wherever you listen to it. You can also check out my Twitch account, Kyle Impersonator, where I am playing through Resident Evil Code Veronica X right now, which we talked about earlier in the show, and you can find me on the MinMax show for more long-form video game discussion. I will talk to you more about video games tomorrow, or right now, if you're inclined. You heard Alex Agnel and I discussing the Resident Evil Code Veronica remake rumor earlier, but we talked about more than that, so I figured I would put the full chat here at the end of today's episode if you wanted to listen to the full thing. Enjoy! Yeah, I hope they do. I mean, the rumors that are circulating now, it seems like, you know, eight is still rumored, you know, 4 is still rumored, but if those do come to fruition, Code Veronica would be after those. So if it is in fact being worked on, or, you know, in the queue, I guess you could say, I don't think we're going to see it for a while, which is okay as long as it comes to exist eventually.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I feel like we've gotten quite a lot of Resident Evil over the last 3 years, and I don't want Capcom to overextend themselves. I do know that these are all made by different development teams, but the last few times Capcom's dumped, you know, a multitude of Resident Evil games in a short period of time, there have been sometimes shortcomings from entry to entry. And I feel like Resident Evil 3 Remake was probably a good example of that, where the game for me wasn't terribly remarkable in a lot of ways. And having come so soon after RE2, I feel like maybe if they had taken more time to kind of develop Resident Evil 3, it would have been an even better game. So I mean, if it comes down to a good game or a great game, I'd rather Capcom took their time.
Yeah.
Same. I don't want them to rush Code Veronica 13 or 14 months after RE4 comes out or RE8 comes out, and it's not that great because of that.
Yeah, hopefully not.
I do have to ask, though, what do you think of Code Veronica?
Oh,
like, what are your thoughts so far?
I like it. I like it more than I thought I would, actually. I kind of went in with some pessimism. I'd heard it was one of the harder ones, which kind of scared me. And then, like, I didn't think that the thing I would like would be like, oh, I'm getting some history on the family that, you know, came to create Umbrella. I didn't expect that to be part of it. And Yeah, I'm digging it. I'm liking it more than I thought I would.
Mm, yeah, I think it was, in my opinion, a very well-liked game when it came out. I think it was revolutionary in a lot of ways, but because it's been 20 years, people, especially people who came after the game's release, have forgotten a lot of its contributions to the franchise. I mean, I do acknowledge that Code Veronica can be a little strange in terms of the storytelling, the voice acting.
Oh, yeah. It can be a bit.
Yeah, it can be a bit hard, and I think that this is kind of a fault of the game's localization, because the Japanese version has difficulty modes that make it a lot more manageable to play the game. A lot more manageable. Like, you, I think if you start on one of the easiest modes, you end up with a lot of weapons early on. So that's all not available to players of the North American version. So
yeah, I mean, even just some alerts that are like, oh, hey, heads up, like, you should deposit everything in a box here because you're not coming back right. in a while. Like, even that would be like, right, would be nice, right. You know?
Yeah. Like, when you know that, it's not a problem. Well, I mean, I guess you can say that with any game, but like with sure, Code Veronica yeah. specifically, like, there's nothing about like the way the bosses behave that's inherently difficult. If you have the right equipment, right, and you know the basic strategy, because they're not terribly complex, right? But if you just don't have the correct equipment, then it can be a little burdensome. But one thing I like about Code Veronica is that almost every boss has some weird hack that allows you to kill them very easily, and you don't actually need to use that much ammo. Yeah, and a lot of these boss fights, I don't know if you ever thought about it, but they're not boss fights that you could have had in the pre-rendered games, right?
Mm, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, like Nosferatu with the sniper rifle and stuff like that. Yeah,
sniper rifle, the tyrant with the moving crate.
Yes,
like,
yeah,
all
yeah,
that
yeah.
requires like all that requires a real-time engine. And you know, if you played that just a few months after RE3, I think the advances were very evident back in the day. So
yeah, it's really unfortunate that one didn't get a number after it. Like that probably should have been 4, and then 4 should have been 5, and so on and so forth. I think that would have given it a better foothold in the series' history, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it was all down to console politics. Pretty much, the general producer at the time said, "Okay, Sony gets all the numbered Resident Evil games, and then We'll give Sega this game called Code Veronica that's not a side story, but we can't give it a number because the numbered games are on PlayStation. And then we'll give Nintendo fans 0 because that means they won't have to play anything else in order to get the storyline." So it's really fascinating, and I do talk about this in my book, how a lot of like marketing and like console politics, like with the first parties and Capcom, really shaped a lot of the early history of Resident Evil. And I feel like a lot of that still has profound influences today, especially with RE3 Remake. You know, remaking a game that originally started out as a side story is, I would say, it's pretty uncommon, right? I don't really hear about side stories getting remade all the time. So, you know, it's, all that kind of reverberates today, you know?
Yeah, and totally. Then,
funny enough, there are those rumors that Resident Evil 8 was originally a Revelations game. So it feels like...
Yeah, I heard some of that too, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I can see it being true, but I can also see it not being true, because I think Revelations should have been continued into a third entry. I think it did very well for Capcom. And I think I don't know if you've played the Revelations games.
Yeah, I've played them both, yeah.
Right, you know, I think they've got their own particular flavor of Resident Evil that I find to be very interesting. They're like kind of their own thing, but they have enough connections to the main numbered titles that they don't feel like they're totally separated. And based on what we've heard about RE8 and like the plot beats, you know, they do sound very Revelations-like.
Sure. So, yeah. Yeah, I like this trajectory the series kind of seemed like it was going on, where it's like Revelations is like picking up where 4 left off. 7 was kind of picking up where, you know, classic Resident Evil left off. And I was like, oh, well, those two can go kind of side by side. But now, yeah, I don't know. Now I don't know what's happened to that track. It's
well,
interesting.
So far, the Revelations games have been replaced by the remakes, pretty much.
Yeah, that's true. Totally. Yeah.
Which I think is actually an interesting strategy, right? You can use the new numbered entries for, you know, your new and exciting ideas. And then the remakes can be like that very comfortable over the shoulder third person style.
Yeah. The sort of the four influence for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where they take the series from here. I think there's a lot of potential for different things. And I, you know, despite RE3 not being like super great in my opinion, I do think that they still have a very solid foundation going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, thanks so much, Alex. I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me about it.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, no, anytime.
Fingers crossed for both of us that this rumor is true, that Code Veronica is being worked on, a remake is being worked on at some capacity. I hope it is.
And I'm really glad you're liking the game.
Yes.
Good luck to the end.
Yeah, yeah. I'm streaming it, so I've committed myself to finishing it, so I'm about there.
Excellent. All right. All right, take care, Kyle.